I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Joined now by Charles Fishman, our man in Washington, D.C. Charles, of course, author of three New York Times bestsellers, most recently One Giant Leap, about the extraordinary efforts of ordinary Americans to get us to the moon. Also a 3-time winner of the Gerald Loeb Award for Excellence in business writing, and a retired Mississippi River tugboat deckhand joins me now. Before anything else, Charles, I wanted to ask you, there's one topic that we have not talked about because it came and went very quickly, but it's a topic that fascinates me, and it is surge pricing. And they were going to do surge pricing, I think this was 2 weeks ago, at Wendy's. And the problem was, is the surge pricing came and went before I even had a chance to talk to you about it. But they were going to, whatever, charge more for a hamburger at a certain time of day than at other times of day. And it went over like a lead balloon. What do you make of surge pricing?
Well, this was Wendy's CEO, Kirk Kanner, in the earnings call that we often talk about, you know, where companies every 3 months talk about how they're doing publicly. And he said, we're going to be testing it in 2025 and see how it works, including dynamic pricing. And it was widely interpreted. It's unclear that Wendy's has installed digital menu boards. You know, many or most McDonald's have the same thing where the menu isn't locked in like right. gas prices are, you know, on the sign.
Right.
They can do anything with it. They show you pictures of everything, you know. And so you could change the price, you know, every 10 minutes if you wanted to. And so this was widely interpreted to mean they're going to raise prices during the day at times when, somehow it was interpreted to mean they're going to raise prices when traffic is low. And there was such an outcry on social media at what a ridiculous thing this was to do that literally, within 4 days, they denied that the CEO had said it, that's the new information world in which we live. There's recording of him saying, we're going to do it. Wendy said, no, we never had any intention of doing it. But what's interesting is, you know, there's a couple places where we encounter this all the time. The first place people would have ever been familiar with this is, what's it cost to fly from Atlanta to New York?
Right.
Well, there is no price. If you, I did this right. for a story once. If you map a single airplane that is flying people from Atlanta to New York, literally on a plane with 150 people, there will be 100 prices, right? So there is no cost. It depends on when you bought the ticket and what seat you're sitting in. Even though everybody's getting the same product,
right,
there's different prices. Now, the example we're most familiar with now, of course, is Uber and Lyft that have what's called surge pricing.
Yeah.
But that's completely different than what the Wendy's guy was proposing. Let's make money off people who are hungry in the
office.
Well,
I guess there's a fine line between surge pricing and gouging. Right? Like,
gouging.
Where is the line between surge pricing and gouging? You know,
it's really
Paris
easy
Olympics.
To understand.
Yeah.
Right, it's really easy to understand in both the airline example and the Uber example. There's surge pricing on Friday night from 6 to midnight in New York and L.A. and Houston on Ubers because there's so much demand for Ubers. And guess who also wants to go out on Friday night? Uber drivers. So what surge pricing does is that's Uber paying more to the
drivers. It's encouraging. It's trying to increase the supply by saying, listen, you come out now, we're going to give you more. So it actually, in
exactly.
some ways, helps the consumer and helps
it
ease
helps
a problem.
You can be uncomfortable that the ride that normally costs $9 costs $14. But the point is that there is a ride, and that's the point of surge pricing there. The same is true of airline tickets. There's a whole set of seats on airline flights that are priced pretty high because the airlines want there to be seats. You could, if you price Atlanta to New York at $69 a seat, every seat would be gone as soon as the flight was listed for sale. You want some of those seats to last so that when you're 2 weeks out, there's still a seat on the plane. And so those prices are used the same way. What Wendy's appeared to be doing was just, hey, there are times in the day when we could charge more and hungry people would pay it. Let's do that. And that was viewed as just what you
is
said.
Is it immoral that fundamentally? Doubt. Like, for example, at the Masters Golf Tournament in Augusta, all of the hotels increase their prices dramatically. Is gouging, what's the line between gouging and supply and demand? Like, that's the 1 week when everyone's in Augusta. We're going to charge $300 to stay at a sleep in.
Right. Well, and I would say there's an interesting balance, right? Some of those hotels in Augusta exist because the Masters is there.
Right.
But also on a typical February, in a typical October week, they're not making that much money. So they wouldn't right. exist. The hotel,
but for that
you want hotel rooms there when you want them. You're like, why aren't there more hotels in this town? Because the Masters is only here 1 or 2 weeks a year. But what about Taylor Swift tickets? You know, what about NBA tickets?
That's the thing. The Grizzlies charge different for different games now. That every sports team does. They're different on weekends, different from when the Warriors are in town, different. It's called dynamic pricing is what
dynamic
it's called.
Dynamic pricing. And
that's supply
to my
and demand.
Mind,
uh-huh.
Right. I mean, I grew up, my parents had, my dad wanted season tickets to the Miami Hurricanes, the football team, when they were terrible. We had 40-yard line tickets to the Miami Hurricanes in the Orange Bowl. And he also shared Dolphins season tickets. My parents weren't rich at all. They were solid middle class. I could not afford, on our income, season tickets to the Washington Commanders. It's crazy, you know. So the fact that the NBA teams, that the Grizzlies have different prices for different games depending on how they're doing, different days of the week, I actually think that's good if it actually makes the games accessible. It's fun to go to an NBA game if you don't go all the time, no matter what. So if it brings the purse ticket price down, you know, to $59 sometimes when it would right. normally be $249, great. You know, that was the Taylor Swift in her last concert tried to impose a kind of technology where she said, these are the prices and we're not going to let bots buy the tickets at these prices and then move them over to the resale sites and sell them. And that's what's been happening with concerts. Popular concerts, people automate the ticket buying process. They swoop in and buy 10,000 tickets at the list price, and then they literally the next day they're selling them for twice that. Hmm. And so that's clearly gouging. You know, whatever.
It's fascinating. It's all interesting right. to me, but yeah. Wendy's yeah. right now abandoned it. All right, moving right along. There's we have closely followed ever since we learned that you on your bicycle as a child would race home so you wouldn't be captured by the UFOs. We have
abducted. We like the word abducted.
Abducted.
Right.
We've closely followed the UFO story, including the congressional investigations and
last year.
Yeah, that was last year.
That the that the UFO remains are in a warehouse somewhere.
So there is a now, they issued a report, and where, and I suppose they told us where the remains are. What did they tell us in the report?
Can we use the proper government agency name? This is the All Domain Anomaly Resolution Office. The All Domain Anomaly Resolution Office.
God.
Otherwise known as the UFO office inside the Pentagon. They issued a 63-page report last week in which they said that what they did was track down every rumor and allegation of every kind of USG, as they call it, U.S. government office or program that would have been collecting remains, collecting wreckage, hiding it, analyzing it, reverse engineering it. The first sentence of the report says, this study, quote, found no evidence that any USG investigation, academic-sponsored research, or official review panel confirmed that any sighting of a UFO represented extraterrestrial technology. All investigative efforts of this report.
So they looked into everything and they saw nothing. Is that what you're saying?
Every level of classification, every kind of program. Well, and the report, right. So is this a surprise? They found nothing? They investigate? Like, if there
were...
Well,
I mean, I guess the question is, do we believe them, right? Like, do we...
Well, so there were some really good things in the report. One of them was that in the 1950s and 60s, half of the sightings that were reported and investigated could be attributed to the U-2 spy plane, the new U-2 spy plane. So what's interesting about that is the U-2 spy plane wasn't really public in those days. Right. It was a secret program.
Now they can talk about it. Right.
No, but what's interesting is maybe what we're seeing is the same. Maybe what people are reporting is real, but it's secret government technology that they won't talk about, right? So they didn't say, what they said was, a lot of the alleged offices, departments, programs, secret projects do in fact exist. They just don't have anything to do with UFOs.
And they're not saying that was the equivalent of the new spy plane, because they're not admitting
it exists. The real interesting question this raises is, what's going on that we don't know about? The report also does not say that we have not recovered interesting stuff that might be the work of China or Russia, for instance, and that we might not be reverse engineering.
Does it explicitly say that we don't have any little green men in the...
It says there is no evidence of off-world technology or biological remains in custody of any government agency or contractors or defense contractors. Okay. So that's, you know...
All right, we got...
It would be extraordinary. You and I have talked about this jokingly, but, you know, we can barely get the fire department and the police to calls. A random sheriff's office in Kansas calls in a report that there's a UFO, and some secret agency swoops in immediately and scoops up everything.
Right.
The idea that you could keep this secret across 60 years is ridiculous.
Okay.
So, by the same token, the Pentagon investigated itself and found no news. Okay, so...
Shocking. Okay, homes are... We have some home news, some real estate news. Homes are getting smaller. Is this true?
This is really, really, really important. The average price of a new home has gone up 28% since literally 4 years ago, since the start of the pandemic.
Yeah,
To $418,000. That's not a starter home. That's any
new average home in America.
New home in America
is $418,000.
That's just crazy. That is just crazy.
How does the average human being have a shot? It's crazy. Okay. Anyway,
the average starter home.
Yeah.
The average starter home, a first home. The average price of a first home is $240,000. That's also up. I don't know the percent of how much it's up. But here's the thing. In 1999, the average size of a U.S. home was 2,000 square feet. In 2015, the average size of a home was 2,500 square feet, literally a quarter bigger back in the 1970s, when you and I were in the fourth grade, the average new home was 1,700 square feet.
Wow.
So since the peak of 2015, we are down to 2,180, the smallest average size since 2010. But what that means is really something important, that new home builders are now building homes in the 900 to 1,500 square foot range. One in five new homes is now a townhouse, a townhome, so it's in a group of three or four in a line, which are less expensive, the highest number ever. So smallest size since 2010, more townhomes being built than ever.
Is this for affordability, because of the cost?
100%, it's 100% for affordability. If you cut...
It's not the heating and air and whatever else,
If you cut 200 or 300 square feet out of a house, you're saving thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. This is combined with, and we don't know if this will happen, but in the State of the Union last Thursday, Joe Biden acknowledged that home prices and rent are a huge part of inflation. And he proposed a $5,000 tax credit for first-time home buyers allocated to help them actually pay their mortgage every month, and a $10,000 tax credit to get people to sell their first homes and move up. So, you know, the housing market is locked. Things are expensive. There's not enough new supply. The other thing is that smaller homes, trivial point, but smaller homes are faster to build. So this trend is good. When I go look at the house I grew up in, you know, the bedrooms are just...
Everything's big. People have these giant great rooms, and they have giant, you know, this and that. It's just huge.
People are spending $60,000 on cars, and $60,000 used to be half of a home.
You have your own personal inflation report?
I've looked at inflation. I was stunned. I told you this. I've saved my receipts. I went to the grocery store, and I was stunned in just the last week at how many things are on sale. So there's a shelf price, but then if you have the little, you know, the frequent shopper card, which we all do, give them your phone number, then you get lots of money off.
Right.
The pasta, 4 for $5. So it's not $1.99 a box or $1.49 a box. It's $1.25 a box. That's what we used to pay. Cheddar cheese, 20% off. One of my favorites, Rao spaghetti sauce, yep. R-A-O. Purchased last year, very controversially, by Campbell's Soup. The high-end spaghetti sauce, $8.99 a jar.
That's expensive spaghetti sauce.
Right. It's three times what you can get a jar of Ragu for, 33% off.
Okay, but how does your personal receipts,
grape
those?
Grape nuts.
What an awful
Rich
cereal,
crackers,
by the way.
Huh?
What an great awful nuts, cereal. Yeah.
There's only
nuts.
One person in this house.
What an awful cereal. But here's the question. How does your personal experience of all these things being on sale... Didn't we have inflation numbers come in today and they weren't great, right?
Inflation is a little stuck today. It's right where it was a month ago, down year on year. But food inflation is not the problem. The problem is really housing. Housing makes up 30 or 40% of inflation, and in housing lags because of how people sign leases, how people buy homes. And you know what? The average price of a house is up. Mortgage rates are up. When you raise interest rates, you're supposed to slow the economy, and then eventually prices come back down. The one thing that raising interest rates does is make houses more expensive. So, but Ritz crackers, 2 for $1. Oreos, buy one package, get a... They're giving you a free package of Oreos or a free package of Ritz. I certainly haven't seen that in the last 3 years. To me, that's a sign of something important, which is Nabisco, in this case, wants to lower prices. They want to keep the shelf price at $5.99,
right?
But they understand that their competitors are lowering prices. So what they do is do a 2 for $1. That way they keep the shelf price where it is. If you don't buy the 2 for $1, you're going to pay $5.99. But that's
you know what
crazy,
we're not going
right?
to get to. We're not going to get to the story about my hometown because I got to read a spot.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.